welcome to the Bullpen Report and the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Dan Thompson at Red Fox Roto, and today is Saturday. It's April 11th, which means it's a weekend fab episode. So who looks good to target and bid on this weekend? What should we watch for today and tomorrow that could impact those bids? And who can we safely drop? So we're delving into the world of closers and saves, as always. And let's begin. On Tuesday's episode, and in my written article for the FTN website, I touched on a few early season pitfalls to avoid. And one of them was our tendency as a fantasy community to think that any pitcher who gets a save in an unclear bullpen is now capital T, capital C, the closer. So taking that to the extreme this week, that was the Minnesota Twins. From Monday to Thursday, the Twins enjoyed a four-game winning streak. Great for them. But four different relievers saved games for the Twins over those 4 days. And none of those saves came from our preseason favorites, Cole Sands or Taylor Rogers. So it started with Cody Laurison on Monday, though he is going on the IL with a forearm strain, so we could ignore him this weekend regardless. Tuesday was Justin Topa's turn. Although his was a two-out save, he may not have even been the first choice to finish that game. Topa relieved Eric Orsi after Orsi ran into some trouble in the ninth. Wednesday saw lefty Cody Funderburk get the save. He entered after Laurison started the ninth so that Funderburk could face fellow lefties Riley Green, Parker Meadows. So that one was a situational save. And finally, Thursday's save went to Eric Orsi, who pitched a clean ninth inning all of on his own. So what we have in Minnesota is a true bullpen by committee. You know, Derek Shelton is leveraging his relievers in situations where he thinks they will be most effective. And this has meant that Cole Sands is frequently used earlier than the ninth in those fireman situations or facing a tough part of the batting order. The lefties, Taylor Rogers, Cody Funderburk, they're being deployed against pockets of left-handers on the opposite team's batting order. Justin Topa, Laurison, Orsi, you know, they're ready to pick up when the right-handed part of the lineup comes along. So Minnesota does not have a closer, and there's nobody to actively target on that team. Right now, if you're still holding Taylor Rogers or Cole Sands, you can drop them for a better alternative. For now, it appears Twin saves will be situational based on who's available that day and whoever hasn't been used by the time a save opportunity arises. Now, the situation in Tampa Bay is a little different. Kevin Kelly and Brian Baker have two saves each for the Rays. So none of our preseason committee targets, Griffin Jacks, Edwin Uceta, or Garrett Clevenger, none of the three has recorded a save yet. Uceta, of course, has been on the IL with a shoulder injury, but he's making his way back. He's pitched a couple times on his rehab assignment. He could be off the IL soon. And he'd be a decent stash pickup this weekend. Griffin Jacks started the season poorly. That's been well documented. But, you know, the velocity has been normal. He hasn't allowed a run in his last two appearances, covering three innings. So he should get back in that mix soon if he keeps up the scoreless streak. Garrett Clevenger is on the IL. It's a calf injury, not anything related to his arm. It doesn't have the appearance of a long-term issue. Of course, we never know. But Clevenger shouldn't be rostered for saves, strictly saves anyway, except in like AL only or other deep leagues. It has been Brian Baker assuming that top spot in the Rays committee approach to the late innings. So Baker needs to be rostered and in starting lineups while that opportunity is there. We just have to know that it might not be, you know, a very long-term thing that Baker is that favorite. In Houston, Brian Abreu's struggles have just lingered. They've continued on. He allowed another run and two more walks on Wednesday this week. He's now walked 7 and allowed 9 runs in 3 2/3 innings. It's hard to see how the Astros can continue to give Abreu save chances or high leverage innings in general. The Astros haven't had many late leads to protect, but it's possible we see Brian King get the next chance. For the Astros, really all hope rests on the healthy return of Josh Hader. Though Hader has yet to face live hitters, he probably isn't coming back until late this month or even into May. Now, if you have Brian Abreu and you're waiting on him to right the ship, I wouldn't wait much longer. I would only hold Abreu if the Astros generate a save chance this weekend and he gets it and converts it cleanly. And I don't think that's likely to happen. But that's the only scenario where I would hold Abreu beyond this week. Now, if anybody other than Brian King gets a save for the Astros this weekend, I wouldn't rush to grab them off the wire. If it is King that gets a save, he's worth a reasonable bid for next week. But I'd throw King on the bottom of bidding queues regardless. Now, in Sacramento, the A's are the West's version of the Twins, although their bullpen may be even worse than Minnesota's. I can't recommend rostering or trying to add anybody from the A's bullpen at this time. Now, the bullpen we do need to spend some time talking about is in Texas. Robert Garcia and Chris Martin have been bad to start the year. They've both apparently pitched themselves out of the late innings. Garcia just last night blew a lead, allowed a couple runs in the 6th inning. So it was surprising on Monday and then again on Tuesday to see Jacob Junis steal consecutive saves for the Rangers. Now, for many, this is likely to make Junis a target for saves this weekend, but I think we need to look at the circumstances of those saves a little more closely. Ahead of Monday's game, a number of Ranger relievers had seen recent usage. Some were just not available. You know, Jacob Latz had pitched the previous 2 days. Chris Martin had thrown 36 pitches over the prior 3 days. He would have been pitching for the 3rd time in 4 days, which is something I think the Rangers are trying to avoid with him at his age and with his thoracic outlet symptoms. Robert Garcia had thrown 20 pitches the night before, and he was used in the 8th inning on Monday because a couple lefties were due up in the order. Cole Wynn had thrown 31 pitches over the previous 3 days, and Wynn did appear on Monday. He got a high leverage out in the 7th inning. But there wasn't a need to push him because he was pitching for the 3rd time in 4 days. So if we put all this together, it appears that the Monday save for Jacob Junis was mostly because he was the last man standing. Now, the follow-up save on Tuesday was slightly more interesting, but both Cole Wynn and Robert Garcia were totally unavailable after throwing back-to-back days, and Wynn had pitched 3 out of 4. So on that Tuesday game, Jacob Latz pitched the 7th and 8th innings, and he faced the 9 through 5 hitters on the Mariners. So that left the bottom of the order for Junis. Now that Junis was used over Chris Martin, I think was more of an indictment on Martin than an endorsement of Junis. Now the following night, Wednesday, was when we saw Cole Wynn used in the 9th for a save chance, which he did convert with a strikeout, and he retired Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez to end that game. I think that save was more meaningful than the 2 saves from Jacob Junis. Now, it's clear that Junis has earned his way into the late innings for Skip Schumaker, but I just don't see him emerging as the top threat for saves. So with Garcia and Chris Martin demoted to earlier innings, the pitcher I'd give the best odds to, you know, taking primary control of the 9th would be Cole Wynn. Now, if the 2 Junis saves make winning Cole Wynn bids cheaper, that's the ideal scenario. I do think there is a real opportunity for someone to emerge in Texas as the primary closer, where that doesn't necessarily exist in Minnesota, you know, Sacramento, other places. But ultimately, myself, everyone else, we're just guessing. I try to make my guesses as educated and logical as possible, but we're just playing odds on various scenarios. I do believe that management would prefer one or both of Chris Martin, Robert Garcia, just to get it together and be part of those late innings. But barring that, and definitely in the short term, I prefer Cole Wynn as the best choice to take that, the Chris Martin role that was envisioned, and for Wynn to earn that right-handed share of the ninth inning. All right, well, let's move on now to the actual waiver wire picks for the week. First, the pitchers we can drop if they're still being held on rosters. So as I've already covered, Taylor Rogers, Cole Sands in Minnesota, they can be dropped. Chris Martin and Robert Garcia in Texas can be dropped. I covered dropping Brian Abreu this weekend if he doesn't get a save, which seems the likelier outcome. Griffin Jacks in Tampa, unfortunately, can be dropped in most leagues. I think even if or when he gets back into the mix for saves, he's still not going to be a full-time closer. You can also drop any A's relievers you may have. There's no one there that's really worth a roster spot. And lastly, Ryan Stanek in St. Louis can be dropped. Riley O'Brien has got a pretty firm grip on that job now. So the targets for the weekend. As always, the availability, the percentages I cite, they come from the NFBC, the 12-team online championship contest. And we start with Cole Wynn, who is available in 97% of leagues, so he's widely out there. I wouldn't place any large bids on Wynn, since there's still no guarantee he runs away with the closer role. But there is opportunity there, and I'd like to roster him to find out. Behind him, Jacob Junis is available in 100% of OCs. I think Junis can be in bid lists, but for reasons I explained, I wouldn't prioritize him over Cole Wynn at this point. Brian Baker is still out there in 18% of leagues. He may not have long as the primary closer in Tampa, so bids should reflect that. But Baker needs to be started for at least the next week, maybe two. Brian King in Houston is available in 73% of leagues. Like Baker, he may only be useful for a week or two. So again, reasonable bids here. But Brian King is worth a shot as just an extra reliever for the week. Maybe you don't have enough good starting pitching matchups. King could pick up a save. Winning bids for Brian King would certainly be higher if he gets a save this weekend. So we'll monitor that. Now for spec plays, Edwin Uceta in Tampa is a solid speculative addition. But similar to the situation with Griffin Jacks, when everyone is healthy and everyone's contributing in that Tampa pen, it's going to be a committee. So we don't need to make any big bids, any big bets on Uceta kind of running away with that job either. Now for deeper specs or longer term holds, it depends on your league type, but I'd be interested in Juan Murillo and Jonathan Loaisiga behind Paul Sewald in Arizona. And then both Keaton Wynn and Caleb Killian in San Francisco. So those are names I'd rather just watch on the waiver wire, watch to see how those bullpens kind of evolve over the next several weeks, month. But if you're in like an NL only or a really deep league, something that counts holds or solds, any of those guys, Murillo, Loaisiga, Keaton Wynn, Caleb Killian, they could be useful to roster now. Well, that will do it for this Saturday Fab Preview episode of the Bullpen Report and the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'll be back Tuesday for all the news and notes from this weekend and to go over what actually ends up happening in free agency. But for now, let's close it out.